Is this song? There we go. Well, good morning. I really appreciated those songs. I need the Lord every hour, especially right now, as Eric said. Yeah, it's all good. The Lord provides all that we need, as long as we come to Him and ask Him for it. Sometimes He supplies even when we don't ask for it. It's good to be here, right? We get to get together, worship God together, in person. I'm happy to be here. I'd also like to pray before we look into the Word. Let's do that. Heavenly Father, we come to You this morning. I want to thank You for Your Word that we have, that You've preserved for so many years. Thank You that in Your Word we can find courage. We can learn more about You, who You are, and Your great love for us. And we see examples of men that went before us, how they walked by faith, trusting You every day, every hour, and leaning on Your strength, on You to provide, and on Your wisdom and guidance. So, Lord, I pray that You would bless our time together this morning. Thank You for the worship team as they led us in song. I pray that would have just glorified You. I know it did. Thank You for them. Would You bless them? And just continue to bless our time together in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, last time I tried this with my laptop, it didn't work out, if you remember. So we will try again today. If I can remember my password. There we go. It works. So I titled the message, I Have Learned to Be Content in Whatever the Circumstances. I tell you, this week, that got tested a little bit. I had to work very hard with myself to focus and to be content. To be content with the content I was getting, to be content, you know, in my walk, in my work, wherever, it seemed like I was just a bit challenged. But that's okay. Usually when we actually give thought to something and focus, we can be stretched there. I am learning to be content. And I'm very encouraged by the Apostle Paul, how he had to learn this. He's writing this letter to the church at Philippi that was established on Paul's second missionary journey. The letter to the Philippians was one of Paul's prison epistles written during his first Roman imprisonment. Last time I shared, we looked at having the same attitude or the same mindset as Jesus did, and to focus on Him, to focus on Christ. Today, I'd like to look at having a secure mind in Christ, being content, having peace. Let's turn to John 14. Verse 27. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not be afraid. Peace comes from securely resting and trusting in the Lord in all our circumstances. John 16:33 says, Jesus says, I have told you these things so that in me you may have peace. In this world you will have trouble, but take heart, I have overcome the world. He also says, come to me, all you who are weary and burdened. I will give you rest. Matthew, let's actually turn there, Matthew 11. read 28 to 30. Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened. I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me. For I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Verse 10, Philippians 4, verse 10. Paul goes on to say, I rejoiced greatly in the Lord that at last you renewed your concern for me. Indeed, you were concerned, but you had no opportunity to show it. So this church was supporting Paul financially. He had good fellowship with them. He got to know them on his mission journey there. He commends them or praises them for sharing with him their tangible gifts sent by Epaphroditus. If we jump over to verse 18, in chapter 4 there, he says, I have received full payment and have more than enough. I am amply supplied now that I have received from Epaphroditus the gifts you sent. They are a fragrant offering, an acceptable sacrifice, pleasing to God. So this church gave plenty, right? Paul was not lacking. So he commends them for sharing with him their gifts, and in this way also relieving his suffering. They were not lacking in concern, Paul says it here. No, they simply didn't have opportunity to send the gift to him yet. Either no one was able to go or ready to make such a journey. We can look at map 14, actually, in the back of your Bibles. He would have had to cross the sea or travel on land up to Illyricum and then back down to Rome. Let's just take a quick peek at that. It's map 14, if you have the NIV Bible. One day I'll get it so I can put it up there, but not today. I just want you to see there that whoever was taking this journey or making this journey would have had quite the trip to make. And not just anybody. I'm assuming that they traveled on foot or on donkeys or whatever their means was. But even today, I Googled it, and it would take at least 19, 20 hours to either drive it and then go on ship across the sea and then up land again. So it's quite the travel. Let's look at 2 Corinthians chapter 8 just to see how they were not lacking in concern for Paul. 15. Well, not 15. Chapter 8, verse 1. And now, brothers and sisters, we want you to know about the grace that God has given the Macedonian churches. In the midst of a very severe trial, their overflowing joy and their extreme poverty welled up in rich generosity. For I testify that they gave as much as they were able, and even beyond their ability, entirely on their own. They urgently pleaded with us for the privilege of sharing in this service to the Lord's people, and they exceeded our expectations. They gave themselves, first of all, to the Lord, and then by the will of God also to us. So this church of Macedonia was not lacking in concern. They were compassionate, and they were giving sacrificially, beyond their means. Have you ever done that? I'm sure you have. Often we could probably give more, though, right? I'm encouraged by how this church gave, even though there was quite a separation between them at this time. It's also interesting in this verse 10, to note that Paul rejoices in the Lord and not necessarily the gifts that they had sent. And he was grateful to the church for their partnership with him in the gospel. We can see that in chapter 1, verse 5. If you turn there, Philippians 1, 5. Because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now. So they were in partnership with Paul, and he's simply grateful that they are still concerned. They haven't given up, right? Verse 11, I am not saying this because I am in need, for I have learned to be content, whatever the circumstances. That's quite a mouthful, right? Can you relate to that? Can you say that you have learned to be content, whatever the circumstance? Especially if you give thought to what Paul went through, right? He says, I have learned to be content. Was he saying this to rub it in or that they should give more? When he says, I'm not saying this that I am because I am in need. You know, a little bit of a guilt trip? No. He was amply supplied. We saw that in verse 18, right? First off, let's look at what does it mean to be content? What's the benefit of being content? Does it mean that you have or you get everything that you want? In the dictionary, content means to be happy, pleased, a state of satisfaction or peaceful happiness. There's a number of different definitions. Did a Bible word study, and in this passage, content, the word content comes with what one has. Content with the circumstances in which one exists. That's tough, right? Because usually, if we're in a difficult circumstance, we want to get out of it, right? We want to be over it, somewhere else, not right there. It's tough to then focus on the Lord and trust Him to provide, right? Because we're focused on the circumstance. At least I can relate to that. Then I came across this statement. Contentment is being satisfied with Christ in all circumstances. Rest in Him. And not longing for something or someone else or a change of circumstances. Think about that for a bit. Are you satisfied with Christ? Am I satisfied with Christ? Paul was, right? He says, for me to live is Christ, and to die, that's a plus, that's a bonus, that's a gain. Wow. See, there's always going to be another project, another struggle, something to work through, another challenge to face. Paul's satisfaction and sufficiency was what? It was in Christ. That's why he could plow ahead, regardless of what was happening. His focus was on the Lord. He was relying on the Lord's strength and not on his own. He gave up living for himself. Let's go to Hebrews chapter 13. Starting verse 5, keep your lives free from the love of money and be content with what you have, because God has said, never will I leave you, never will I forsake you. So we say with confidence, the Lord is my helper, I will not be afraid. What can mere mortals do to me? Back to Philippians 4, 6 and 7, says, do not be anxious about anything. But in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. See, often anxiety arises from focusing on the circumstances and not on Jesus, not trusting Christ, right? Can you relate to that? Paul genuinely appreciated the gift, the Philippian church, as we saw in verse 18. But he is not ultimately dependent on those gifts. He says, godliness with contentment is great gain. Let's go to 1 Timothy 6. Starting at verse 6, but godliness with contentment is great gain, for we brought nothing into the world, and we can take nothing out of it. But if we have food and clothing, we will be content with that. Wow, really? How about us here in Canada? Can we be content with food and clothing? That's something to think about, right? There's a lot of people in this world that would be content with food and clothing. Especially thinking right now of the earthquake in Haiti. It's a lot of hurting people. Let's remember them. Pray for them. Maybe there's a way you can help them. Verse 12. I know what it is to be in need, and I know what it is to have plenty. I have learned the secret of being content in any and every situation, whether well-fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or in want. Here he's going at it again, right? Second time, driving it home. There's a secret here. Really? See, he wasn't depending on his own strength, right? Twice Paul says he's learned to be content. And this time he adds that there's a secret. What's this secret? He didn't always know this precious truth. It didn't just happen. He wasn't zapped with it by God. He learned it. It wasn't natural. If Paul, of all people, had to learn this, I think I might have to work on it as well, don't you think? Because it doesn't happen automatically. Or does it for you? So he did learn it. How? How did he learn it? Well, I think he learned it through long and hard experiences. By focusing on the Lord and sharing the gospel. Remember, his priority was that Christ would be preached. You can see that earlier on in the book. And he was doing this not when everything's comfortable, when everything's just right in place, when you have just enough money in the bank, or the right truck, or the right house. No, he was doing this while he was being beaten, stoned, flogged. He says he has learned in every situation, whether well-fed, hungry, living in plenty or in want. So he was hungry. He was shipwrecked. He was in prison. That's where he's writing this letter from. And he's encouraging the Philippian church while he's in prison. That really caught my attention again this week. And the list could go on. If you want to see a longer list of that, you can go to 2 Corinthians 11. Where he says he'd be foolish to boast about those things. Because in comparison to Christ, what he's going through is nothing. What he's attained, he finds but zero value in it on this earth when he compares it to knowing the Lord Jesus. So what's the secret? Next verse, he gives it away. It's open. I can do all this through him who gives me strength. That's it. That's the secret. It's really not a secret, right? It shouldn't be. To the believer, it should not be a secret. We can do all things through Christ who gives us the strength to do so. Paul wasn't relying on his own strength, but rather on the Lord's strength. Let's go to 2 Corinthians 12. Starting at verse 9. But he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly about my weaknesses, so that Christ's power may rest on me. That is why, for Christ's sake, I delight in weaknesses, in insults, in hardships, in persecutions, in difficulties. For when I am weak, then I am strong. Let's also go to Proverbs 3. Start at verse 5. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. And lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, submit to him, and he will make your paths straight. Paul had this single mindset. Sharing the gospel, preaching Christ was priority. You can see that in Philippians 1, 20. Let's actually go there. Chapter 1, verse 20. I eagerly expect and hope that I will in no way be ashamed, but will have sufficient courage so that now, as always, Christ will be exalted in my body, whether by life or by death. For me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. Where did Paul get this idea from, or this example? Well, he was living his life after the example of Christ. He trusted the Lord just like the Lord Jesus trusted his Father and came to do his will. Paul was now focused on doing the same. So what are some key points to learning to be content? How can we learn this? Can you get there? Can I get there by buying whatever I want? Or will I be content if I give everything away, if I give all I have to the poor? Or can I get there by comparing myself to others? Something we need to ask ourselves. No, I don't think so. Rather, we could learn to give thanks in all circumstances, like Paul reminds us, and rejoice in the Lord. Learn to rest, trust in the Lord to provide. As he said, don't be anxious, think on excellent things, right? Let's go to Matthew 6. Starting at verse 25, it says, therefore I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothes? Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns. And yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they? Can any one of you, by worrying, add a single hour to your life? No, we can't, right? So let's learn to rest in him and trust him to provide. Learn to be satisfied. 1 Timothy 6, 6 to 8. Let's go there again. I'd already read that before. That's okay. Read it again. But godliness with contentment is great gain, for we brought nothing into the world, and we can take nothing out of it. But if we have food and clothing, we will be content with that. We can learn to refuse to compare with others. Being satisfied. James chapter 3, just right after Hebrews. See, if I live comparatively, I get discontent. The opposite of contentment, which is being satisfied, right? Most often, people compare themselves with those that have more, you know, like a nicer house, newer truck, more hair. I wouldn't do that, but let's look at James chapter 3, 16 to 18. James 3, 16, where are you? There you are. For where you have envy and selfish ambition, there you find disorder and every evil practice. But the wisdom that comes from heaven is first of all pure, then peace-loving, considerate, submissive, full of mercy and good fruit, impartial and sincere. Peacemakers who sow in peace reap a harvest of righteousness. What if you're going to compare, if we would rather compare with those that have less, like a smaller house, an older truck, or a bald head, right? You get the drift. Or when I start thinking about people in Haiti right now, I remember I was there. They don't have air conditioning in their homes. In fact, very few even have screens on their houses to keep the bugs out. Some have dirt floors. They use cold water to shower. I know. All of a sudden, if I start comparing myself to them, I feel like I'm living like kings. Chances are pretty good if we do that, if we're going to live comparatively, if we compare with those that have less, we'll be more thankful. We'll be more satisfied. One more, and there's many others that we can learn to be content. But a very important one is to focus on Christ and rather look to the needs of others. Rely on the strength and provision of the Lord. Verse 14, Philippians 4. Yet it was good of you to share in my troubles. Epaphroditus risked his life for them. You can see that in Philippians 2, verse 30. We also see here that growing pains are necessary. Paul knew about the Philippian church, and he also knew about their giving attitude. He saw it was good for the church's growth and maturity, what they were doing. He wasn't, you know, prying to get more, but he wanted more to be accredited to their account. As you see in verse 17, he says, not that I desire your gifts. What I desire is that more be credited to your account. Paul wanted this church to keep on doing what they were doing, and they would be rewarded for it. Verse 15, moreover, as you Philippians know, in the early days of your acquaintance with the gospel, when I set out from Macedonia, not one church shared with me in the matter of giving and receiving except you only. Let's go to 2 Corinthians 11. Verse 9, and when I was with you and needed something, this is Paul writing to the Corinthians, he says, I was not burdened to anyone, for the brothers who came from Macedonia supplied what I needed. I have kept myself from being a burden to you in any way and will continue to do so. So this church was supporting Paul, and at the time they were the only ones. That's what he tells the Corinthians there, right? I'm sure in time more churches started to give as they saw these examples. But the generosity of the Philippian church is unique and unmatched. We saw that in 2 Corinthians 8, right? For even when I was in Thessalonica, you sent me aid more than once when I was in need. They were consistent. They weren't thinking that they've given too much, and I'm sure they trusted that there was a need, that Paul had a need. We already looked at verse 18. I have received full payment and have more than enough. I am amply supplied now that I have received from Epaphroditus the gifts you sent. They are a fragrant offering, an acceptable sacrifice, pleasing to God. So because of their faithfulness, their sacrificial giving, they all benefit. Paul benefits, right? His struggles are eased by it. God is pleased by this church's faithfulness, their sacrificial giving, and they will reap a reward for it. And my God will meet all your needs according to the riches of his glory in Christ Jesus. Have you heard that verse quoted before? I hear it quoted more often. I think we have to be very careful in quoting this. Can you just say to somebody, you know, praying for you, my God will supply all your needs according to his riches from his and his glory, and then you walk away. What does it benefit someone in need? I mean, ultimately, God can supernaturally provide all their needs, and he may choose to do so. But when we state this, we might be better to support that, to back that up, and be the vessel that God can use to help them in need, right? Be available to be used. Let's keep in mind when Paul said this to the church, within this context, this church was giving sacrificially, willingly. So Paul could assure them God would provide their needs. You know, whether that was financially or whatever the need was, he already knew them, that they were trusting the Lord to provide as well. Ultimately, our need is the same, right? Our need, our biggest need is the same. Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me. That's in John 14:6. John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. So salvation is our biggest need. Right? And that's the same for everyone. And the route is the same. It's through the Lord Jesus. Verse 20, to our God and Father be glory forever and ever. Amen. Greet all God's people in Christ Jesus. The brothers and sisters who are with me send greetings. All God's people here send you greetings, especially those who belong to Caesar's household. So this is a pretty typical greeting if you look at the different letters that Paul wrote. But he makes this interesting statement. He says, especially those who belong to Caesar's household. The Caesar at the time, Caleb reminded me, was Nero. And what did Nero do? Well, he was the one that blamed the Christians for burning the city. They had to suffer for it so that the blame or the focus would be come off of the Caesar, Nero. He blamed the Christians. Anyway, back at verse 1, chapter 1, 12 and 13, let's go there. Philippians 1. Now I want you to know, brothers and sisters, that what has happened to me has actually served to advance the gospel. As a result, it has become clear throughout the whole palace guard and to everyone else that I am in chains for Christ. So it was pretty clear, those in the palace working there, that this Paul was in chains for Christ. And I'm guessing that a number of them, as they're also sending a greeting, came to believe in the Lord as a result of Paul's faithful witnessing, sharing the good news. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit. Amen. So to sum it up, Paul wrote the Philippians to thank them for their gift, the gifts they sent, to encourage the believers to stand firm in the face of persecution, and to rejoice. To rejoice. To have the same attitude or mindset as Christ did. Why? In order to accomplish God's purposes. Contentment in adverse circumstances is learned as we continually trust in Christ. In this letter, there's like 46 main teachings in just 4 chapters. I really encourage you to take one sitting and read through it. I've been very encouraged by the letter. I hope that you have been too. 2 key verses that have stood out to me the most from this book, or the letter, is 1 verse 21. For me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. And chapter 4, verse 11, I am not saying this because I am in need, but have learned to be content in whatever the circumstances. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I want to thank you for your word. I want to thank you for Paul's example and how he learned to trust you, how he learned to be totally leaning on you and on your strength in whatever the circumstances were. Thank you that his satisfaction and sufficiency was in you. I pray that you help us focus the same, that we would trust you every day, regardless of what we're going through. Lord, I know it's not easy always, and that's why we can't do it on our own. But as Paul said, we can do all these things through the one that gives us strength, through him who gives me strength, and that is you, Lord. Thank you that we can learn more about this through your word. I pray that you would help us to take it to heart. Thank you for your great love toward us. Thank you for the ultimate example that you gave and how Paul followed it, and how he also says to them to follow him as he follows you. So Lord, together we want to do that. We want to walk by faith, trusting you to provide. In Jesus' name, amen. Enjoy your day.